Views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Say more, and say more, because it's never enough. Trivia tune-up. We will talk about alone, but never alone, and a pair of glasses that make you sink.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Not a lot of politics today. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Remember, it's not professional radio, folks. Let's see. What's that saying again? It's just radio. That's what it is. Any topic, by the way, is open for conversation. If you want to call in, you're welcome to give a praise report, a prayer request, whatever works for you, whatever's good for you. 972-445-0770. Remember, the show's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All righty. So we had a winner yesterday on our trivia contest. How cool was that? And so we have our materials being sent off to Ace. We got verification on the address. Everything going good, doing great. We also have Robert Mann, who's manning the booth for us a second time. Did a fantastic job yesterday. Welcome back, Robert Mann.
Thanks for having me back again. I guess I did a good job since I'm back for a second day.
That's a great way to say that. If that were only true, that I had that much power and pull in the universe. No. We're getting ready in a second to do our sponsorship. In fact, let's do our sponsorship. Let's do that. And then, Rubber Man, remind me to tell you the story about Batman. Okay, after I'm done with the sponsorship, because I'm dumb and I might forget. Let's start off like we did yesterday with what is covering the house, and that's the roof. And we're talking about John.
Big John. Big John.
At the Blessed Roofing Company, theblessedroofingcompany.com. That's the website. Let's get a few things straight. I had a meeting today with both John and Pamela. We'll talk about Pamela in a second. And so we just want to make sure you understand with all of the roofing stuff that's going on, because there's a lot of rain and a lot of hail, and that can create damage on your roof. See that? See how that works? See, rain, hail, roof, damage. And the best way to do it is to look at your roof and go, wah, 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 wah. I think I'll call 469. There it is. 469 blessed is the only answer. You can't do it by osmosis. 469-B-L-E-S-S-E-D. 469 blessed. Now somebody asked me, well, is it blessed or blessed? Okay, either way. 469 blessed. B-L-E-S-S-E-D. 469 blessed. Why? Because John will do a free inspection. A what inspection? A free inspection. If there's nothing wrong with your roof, he'll tell you that. That'd be nice if somebody was honest. Well, that's what he strives and walks in the Lord to do it right before the Lord. I don't know anybody that does anything perfect except for Jesus. But if you're going to do the best you can as before the Lord, that's the kind of person you want working on your roof, especially because how important a roof is. You think, oh, it's no big deal. Right. If that collapses, you just say it's no big deal. I mean, come on. You got to know what's going on with that. That's a serious issue. And with all the hail, you want to make sure you get an inspection, and whether it's for a roof replacement or repairs, it doesn't matter. Most of the time, it's no money out of pocket whatsoever. But get it done, and get it done right away. 469 Blessed, BLESSED, theblessedroofingcompany.com, theblessedroofingcompany.com. Not to be outshined by theblessedroofingcompany.com is our very next person. Pamela Milchioni.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
I love it. That's so good. Anyway, I had a chance to meet with Pamela today. Let's just get this straight. So she had, at 12 o'clock today, she had a meeting about moving the website to theblessedrealtycompany.com. Theblessedrealtycompany.com. She's moving everything that direction. Very exciting. And we put her commercial together, and it's in the production process. Ooh! That's exciting. 817-505-5541. 817-505-5541. If you are looking to do business with somebody who's a professional who works so that what's taking place in the real estate transaction is like it's in within her own framework, her own family, and her home, her own life. Now, why that's important is because real estate agents are like other people in other industries. Some of them are superb, fantastic, and some are not. So you want to work with somebody who's superb, fantastic. There you go. That's Pamela Milchioni. She thinks that what takes place transaction-wise is important on all ends, not just one end or the other, on everybody's end, because everybody needs to be a winner in the process. 817-505-5541. TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com is rising up even as we speak. They're putting it together right now. Right now. Give Pamela a call. Reach out to her. Let her know you're hearing and that you're going to be utilizing her services. She will be glad to take your call. No cost, just to talk. Find out what's going on. Okay. That is our two sponsors. Met with them both today. Okay? All right. Now, I want to go back to what we said earlier. We have a couple things I need to handle. One is the thing for Robert Mann. And so I got to tell him what happened. Because I asked the other day what your favorite superhero was, and I believe that your response to Wonder Julie was
Batman.
So I'm going to tell you what happened. A lot of people are going to get a little upset. Okay? I ask you to forgive me now. If you don't forgive me, you're in big trouble because Scripture requires you to forgive, especially if somebody's asking you to forgive, right? Yeah, right. So we were at, this is in California, we were at a Taco Bell. And my wife and I had been talking about the Batman movie and The Voice and everything like that. And I just decided when I ordered at Taco Bell, I would do it differently. And so I said,
I'll have two tacos. And I'd also like some sauce.
And I did the whole order in the Batman voice, right? So when I pulled up, the person taking the money and the getting the food, because in this case it wasn't two separate windows, was just looking at me. Like, what's going on here? And then when the person gave me the food, I went, thank you. Because you have to do that. You think that's funny? About a month and a half later, we were at Chick-fil-A right by Walmart in California. And we go through, and on the other end, on the end that's talking to me, the person was like, what can I get you for your order? And I thought, somebody's playing a joke on me. And I pull up. It was a guy. That's how we talked. It was just, I was sitting there, and my wife and I drove off, and we were looking at one another going, did that just happen? And it was like, yes. It was just one of those weird things where you make fun of it, you do it, you're in a drive-thru, no big deal, and then it went right back on me. It boomeranged right back on me. Like, wowzer, right? Wowzer. All right. Confession time. It's always good to be honest and be able to be vulnerable for those that are thinking that people on the radio need to be perfect. Like, I like a lot of the personalities, but there is a mindset, and they teach you this just so you can know. You can never be wrong. You always have to be right, no matter what your guest says or does. If you watch cable television, it's the exact same rule. It's the rule everybody has if you do live talk radio. You always have to be right, okay? Which leads to very little exposure of humility. Well, there's a small problem with that. God gives grace to people who have a humble spirit, but he opposes the proud. And God doesn't like people that are so prideful that they can't admit or acknowledge when they've done something wrong. Well, I am a prideful person who has a ton of sin. Okay, I try my best on a daily basis. I come before the Lord. Now, I know I'm justified, but we're talking about the sanctified process. Remember, in salvation, there's three tenses: justified, sanctified, and glorified. Justified means you have been officially declared from a legal point of view clean. Sanctified means that God is making that declaration of justification. He's making that look like the justification. So in essence, you are justified through Jesus Christ, and now God is making you look like Jesus Christ. And then when we're all with him face to face, there'll be the all evil and all sin will be removed, and then we will be in the presence of nothing but Jesus Christ. So that's where you get justified, sanctified, and glorified. You can get into the deep part of it, but really it has to do with the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. In glorification, there's no presence of sin. So you have to be willing. I don't care if you're a senior pastor of 15,000, which I have friends who are senior pastors of 12,000, 13,000, 14,000, and up. They will tell their congregation, I made this mistake. I made a mistake. I was wrong. There's no reason at any point for any person, especially husbands to wives, not being willing to go, yeah, that was wrong. In fact, if you're not able to do that, you're not a good leader, because you have to be honest. A good leader is not perfect, right? A good leader is a servant. And a servant is forthright and honest. So my wife, who is usually, it goes Holy Spirit, Bible, wife, 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 wife for a conviction of sin. That's kind of how it goes. The kids are in there somewhere. I don't know if the dog's in there, but the kids are in there. But mostly it's wife when it comes to human beings. And she said something to me that was complimentary. Have you ever received a compliment? Some people, it's hard to receive a compliment, right? And it almost feels awkward a little bit. But instead of just saying the proper thank you, which is what the proper response is when somebody pays you a compliment, I decided to add on to the compliment for myself. So I said, how's it going? Da, 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 great. And then she said, hey, you did this really well, right? And then I said, I did, didn't I? I sure did a good job doing that. so bad. It's so bad, people. It's bad because, you see, we need more and more and more and more and more. And that's wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong. And she said, I just complimented you. You could just say thank you.
All right, all right, all right.
That's what I did. I said, you're right. I'm wrong. I should have just said thank you. I don't know why I felt like I needed to add on. I don't know if it was pride or if it was the moment or I don't know. But you know what? If that happens to you, just own it. Just own it. The sooner you own something, the easier it is to move on, right? Own it, eat it, and move on from it, right? Don't sit there and linger in it. If you do something wrong, go, yep, I did that wrong. You know, that humility element, that's a fantastic characteristic of a leader. Otherwise, you would have to tell me that you're perfect. And the Lord never has to challenge you. Ooh. Nobody wants to hear that, right? Right. Nobody. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, all amps are louder. Because you see, ours, normally an amp goes from 1 to 10, see? But ours, they go to 11, see? So ours are one more. They're louder, see? So you turn them all the way to 11, all the way up. They're louder.
I have saved the best for the last, because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's 3 ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A couple things to tell you. 972-445-0770, the tune-up trivia question of the day. Because we did have a trivia winner for the $20 gift certificate. Today is not one of the giveaways, but it's a tune-up one, just in case you think you know it. The word manna. Manna, M-A-N-N-A. I think there is actually a second style of writing it, but the word manna, define it. What does it mean? What does it mean? Exodus 16 is the place you're going to want to look, especially if you understand the Beverly Hillbillies. Exodus 16. Okay. Don't worry about that. So if they call in, Robert, just, you know, if they got an answer, we'll bring them on. If they don't, you know, if they want to give it to you instead of coming on the air, you can just jot it down, see if they're right. No problem. Okay. Manna. Define it. A couple things to tell you. YouTube, David Spoon Media, I'm going to be telling a Christian joke on David Spoon Media in the YouTube realm tonight. Just in case. You know why? Because we just need to laugh a little. It's just getting to be too intense. We're going to get into a really intense teaching in a second. So just smile a little. Yeah, exactly. Facebook, David Spoon Media. You can check us out on Facebook. Go type in David Spoon Media. You're welcome to leave a comment. Again, the number, if you think you have a definition for mana, 972-445-0770. Here we go. Oh, by the way, it's National Penguin Day. National Penguin Day. I don't know if that has to do with anything, but I'm just letting you know. I tell you the things that you need to know to keep things moving along. That's my goal. Yesterday we talked about Jesus feeding the 5,000. I want to do a follow-up on that, not to the actual that section, but what the very next section was in regards to Jesus after he was teaching about teaching us how to understand his provision and his abilities, and how God deeply understands our personal needs, especially our financial needs, being that is the only provisional miracle in all Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all four Gospels, is the feeding of the 5,000. The next story that takes place in Matthew, the Gospel, is when Jesus walks on the water, and I want to jump right into that because I find that there is some of this that is greatly, greatly fascinating yet challenging at the same time. So here's what the passage says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples go back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone, and meanwhile the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. So there's three things that pop out of me when I see something and I read this, and it just kind of really, I guess it affects the way I think and the way I process in my own faith. It says Jesus insisted the disciples go back in the boat, and then he sent the people home. Now remember, just prior to the feeding of the 5,000, it was the disciples that said, send the people away. And now Jesus is sending the people away, but Jesus does not send the people away before he ministers to them. He ministers to them. He gives them food. He provides for them. He helps secure them. He helps strengthen them. Then he sends them home. He doesn't want to just send them home with nothing. And it's very rare, or almost never, I would say, it was probably never, where God sends you away with nothing. There's always something the Lord has to give you. Even if you go to, and I've heard so many Christmas messages, you would think, well, there's just not much more material that you can get. How many times you can hear the Christmas story? I mean, I've been a Christian 40 years. I've heard at least 40 times two. So I've heard at least 80 Christmas messages, plus delivered multiple Christmas messages. But I inevitably, in every engagement, there's always something there for me. And that's really how the Lord is. He always has something for his people. Now, what struck me as new that I had not thought of before was verse 23. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. We talked about this yesterday, how Jesus, instead of overreacting or whatever the case may be, he would go away by himself, right? And then kind of gather himself and before he's being overreactive or anything. That's how we need to really function so that anger doesn't get the best of us. But while I'm reading this, and if you dive into the Greek just a little bit, which is a ton of fun, you find out that Jesus went up to the hills by himself. The key is understanding what that means, went up to the hills. So in the context of the passage, it's talking about Jesus escaping or leaving the plurality of people, commerce, the community, the village, the grouping, the fellowshipping, the whole thing. He's going away from anything that is distracting. He's stepping away from worldly noise, people noise, conversational noise. He's getting away from it. And I love that it the way it says it. He goes up to the hills by himself to pray. In his spending time with the Father, Jesus makes it quite clear that we don't want to be in a position of being distracted. Remember the miracle that took place in Matthew chapter 8, how that the people were mocking Jesus about the synagogue's ruler's daughter, and how they were mocking him, and Jesus put them out of the house, got rid of them, kind of cleaned up the atmosphere. There is a good atmosphere for prayer. It is called you and God. It is not you and God with the TV running in the background. It is not you and God while you're doing other things. Well, yeah, I was praying to the Lord, but I was checking my Facebook at the same time. See, that doesn't work. You got to separate from worldly noise. And I'll tell you, I don't think anybody who's listening to me at all would deny that worldly noise is very, very painful. I'm just like, Jesus, like, I'm going up to the hills. I don't hear any of this. And that's before they really had as much noise as we have. So he goes up to the hills, and while he's up in the hills, and while he's praying, and while he's separating himself from that other stuff, what happens? The disciples are in trouble far away. A strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. They were fighting heavy waves. I just think it's important to understand that these were not people who were unaccustomed to boat life. Four of these people were fishermen, two sets of brothers who were partners in the fishing business. I think they understood the boat life. And they were fighting heavy waves, and that's trouble. And I think of heavy waves, you know, you could use that illustration to be anything in life. But listen, a lot of us fight heavy waves. We feel like we're in a boat, and we feel like we're hanging on to the side of the boat, and we're trying not to drown. You ever feel that way? I know you have felt that way. I have felt that way. I feel that way from time to time, depending on what's going on. Verse 25, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. So the night is split up into four watches, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. This is the 3 to 6, the fourth watch of the night. I don't know, have you been up past 2 a.m. before? When you stay up, okay, I don't know about you, but this happens for me, I get tired. I mean, I understand. I'm not as young as I used to be, but you know, when 11 o'clock, well, now when 10 o'clock comes around, I get tired. But 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock comes around, 2 o'clock. You know, it used to be a massive accomplishment to stay up as a kid, right? You're 14, 15. We're gonna stay up all night. We're gonna pull an all nighter. And it was almost like it's this huge accomplishment that you stayed up all night. Why? Because right about 3 o'clock, you just start like going, rah, 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 and you start talking like a dog that's got cotton in its mouth. Right? It's 3 a.m. They're fighting waves. There's no doubt at this point they're tired and exhausted, right? What happens? Jesus comes walking on the water. Now, instead of you thinking of somebody on a paddle boat on a lake where they have a stick and they're standing up on a paddle boat and the water's really calm and so they're pushing themselves along for exercise, this is not that, okay? This is more like, you know, ferocious waves crashing into each other and they're like in a boat and they're like fighting these heavy waves and then Jesus comes walking right through the middle. Now, at 3 a.m, I am not surprised. I don't think anybody should be surprised that Jesus is walking through the middle of the water, 3 a.m, through rough waters. And what do they say? It's a ghost. Because it's like, A, if they're not tired, there's somebody walking on the water. What am I seeing? And it just appears as though when you get to that time in that tired place, it's hard to see clearly. When we come back, we're going to talk about those glasses that they're using because I think we got about a minute, right? We have a pair of glasses that we can put on and we can see the Lord as spooky, or we can put on a pair of glasses and see other things. We're going to talk about that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey! You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
But what kind of call is that?
What can you do?
Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded. Back to the dust with thee.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Alrighty, do want to let you know if, in fact, you have a desire to reach out to us on Facebook, you can do so, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media, so you can see some of the different shows. All the shows, by the way, are on the media channel, the YouTube media channel. Plus, we have all of the shows podcast. If you go to davidspoon.com, you'll see that they're all their podcasts. Some people want to know, well, why are you branding your name? Why are you branding your name? It's easy name. David, named after a king, I wish. And then Spoon, something you probably use every day. So, you know, David Spoon, that's my name. There you go. So that's why we do what we do. All right. Quick reminder on the trivia question, manna. Define what manna is if you are able to. That would be cool. Your solution is going to be in Exodus 16. I think it's going to be in all translations. 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. So you might want to know maybe a little bit, you know, why. I mean, what I'll do is I'll talk about something. I'll talk about life. We'll talk about some serious teachings. We'll get into some different realms. Again, and we've said this before and we'll say it again, the show is geared towards being life as a Christian, not necessarily Christian living. So life as a Christian has much more to do with encountering road rage as a Christian versus getting a good lesson from J. Vernon McGee or Charles Stanley or somebody along those lines. Those people are fantastic teachers, much better than I'll ever be. Okay? And that may be much better than I'll ever be. But I can talk about how my life is. And I know that people understand that and identify with that. And that's where the show really tries to catch into place. We're not trying to be another just Bible teaching show. Now, we do our best to communicate Scripture, and it's not an unqualified position or anything, but it is important to understand that the intent here is for the hour of the show is to give people a bit of a break and a bit of an encouragement. There are times where I'll just say there's times where I really get upset and I, you know, start going down and do what we call a riff, and I go down this, you know, bad path. And it's not that the path is necessarily wrong, but I can get caught in it pretty fast. And that's not good. I can get caught up in the current pretty fast. The idea here is do our best to follow in the Scripture, okay? And then some people are like, well, you should just use King James only. And other people are like, you should just use NIV only. And other people are like, you should use NASB only, and you should just use the Greek, or you should just use the Hebrew, or you should just use, okay. You know that Jesus, when he was quoting Scripture, he used the Septuagint, which was a translation of the Hebrew, 90% of the time. That's number one. And then number two, I use them all. Why use some? I mean, I know what the Greek says. I know what the you know, you have Young's literal translation. I know what these translations say, and I utilize the ones that speak to me. That's the way that you got to go about it. And I encourage you to do the same. I don't have any problem if somebody just wants to use King James. I simply have a problem if they make their mindset where everybody else has to do what they do. You see how that works? I don't think most people got saved the exact same or walked the exact same walk or in the exact same denomination, but that doesn't make you any less brothers or sisters. That's kind of where it comes from. Okay. So let's go back, if we can, to the passage. I find this passage to be outstanding. I think it's a sad testimony that this passage gets thought of and tossed, you know, like really quickly, because I think you need to grasp, and I need to grasp, and I sometimes have hard doing it, that Jesus is walking on the water, man. He's walking on the water. He's not just, he's walking on water. Oh, I guess there's a phone call. Hey, that does work pretty good. Okay, hold on. Hello, this is Dave.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, buddy. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Well, I kept waiting for somebody to call in and answer your question. I didn't want to be all hanging on that end, but and I didn't want to keep calling. I mean, I hate to call it, but I enjoy answering your questions. But
I love
I'm not sure this is.
I love it. I want you to answer. You answer the questions as often as you want, whenever you want. You never worry about that. If somebody else gets there before you agree, you
we'll
just keep going.
Well, I'll be passing on the $20 if they ever do it again, because I don't want to take that over. But it's a honey wafer, and it was sent from heaven. It's called angel's food. That's the only way I know it's described manna.
Okay, now when you say it, and it is food from the heavens, but there's an interesting direct translation, and I'll share it with you. I want you to think about it. It's fascinating because it's manna is a food that God has provided from heaven, and what's ironic about manna ultimately is if you can see manna as faith, it would blow your mind in the sense that faith needs to be used fresh every day, and manna needs to be eaten fresh every day, and you can't hold it. You got to use it for a day. But the direct definition. Oh, I think somebody's on the other line, so I'm gonna give them a shot.
Yeah,
are you doing good? Let me ask you that question. Are you doing good? You enjoying 2 to 3 p.m. Are you?
Yes.
I'm glad you are. All right. Well, we're gonna ask the other person to see if they know it, and then I'll give the definition. But I want you to call in no matter what. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
You got it. God bless you. All right. Okay, let's go ahead and grab the other line and see if the other person will know, and then what we'll do is I'll give the direct definition. Although that definition, saying that it's like an angel's food, that is actually where some of the definitions for angel food came, But we'll talk about that another time. What I really want to get into is what is the most direct definition. And it's funny because it's not silly. It's just understandable because keep in mind that had never been seen before, right? So let's see. I think we got the phone ringing again. Okay, this is Dave.
Hi, Shalom, Dave.
Shalom, how are you?
Very good.
Okay, do you
Dave,
know?
I didn't hear the question, but I was just listening to this caller, and I felt like you were asking, what is manna?
Yes, that is correct. I'm looking for the direct definition.
And the answer is, literally, when the children of Israelites saw that the things that God gave it to them, they said, what is it, which mean manna.
That is exactly correct. See, so that's it. So manna, while we understand that manna is a food, it's almost an angelic food, or you would say, not angelic food, but a food from the heavens, the most direct translation is, what's that? and if you can appreciate the growing up that I did, there were many meals that we said, manna, like, what's that? that's how it went. But excellent answer. That is directly correct. That comes from Exodus 16:15. Good job there, my friend. Thank you. And I do appreciate you calling in and saying that. Hi, are you enjoying the 2 to 3 as well? I'm asking people now because my wife said, when people call in, ask them if they're liking it. I thought that's a good idea.
I'm loving it. I love your sense of wit and dry humor because I'm kind of that guy, too.
Yeah, that's good. And, so that's
and
good
I
to
have
know.
Long ears, too.
Oh, you see? Big ears unite. That's what we're going to That's going to be our mantra. All right. Thank you for calling in. Well, anything else? No, please.
Yes, I have an accent like you, too.
Yours is better than mine. I just want to tell you that right now. I had somebody.
It's the same, but different.
Exactly. I had somebody call it one time and say I sounded like a Muppet. I thought, okay, that's a good one. All right, God bless you, brother. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks. All right, see, now that's fun. Don't you? I love stuff like that. I love it. I love that Leonard calls in, Bobby calls in. I love the people calling in. Everybody's calling in because it's fun. It's like, okay, now we're engaging like a community. Guess what? If I have a serious prayer need, I'm telling you because I'll want you to pray for it. Okay? That's it. So manna, a heavenly food, but its most direct definition is, you know, what is it or what's that? And if you can understand the what's that, it's not that there's a sarcasm in it, but there's a what's that kind of thing attitude. So anyway, I want to finish this teaching because it's pretty good teaching. But anytime anybody wants to call, share something, you can do it. It's not, ask Robert Mann. Do I pretty much go with the flow? Is that pretty much accurate?
That's very accurate.
Very accurate. I like that. There will be an extra $5 in your paycheck. It just won't be for me. Okay. There you go. Jesus is on the water. So we got like 3 minutes. But that's all right, right? We got 3 minutes, 2 minutes, two. Make it 2.5. We'll work it out. So Jesus is walking on the water. The disciples are freaking out. Everybody knows that. I just want you to see what Peter did. Peter didn't go... Wow. Peter, listen to what Peter said. Peter said simply this. He said, if it's you, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. That is the most unique thing. He's like, if it's really you, Jesus, tell me to do what you're doing. Like, wow. I would never have said that. I would have said, if it's really you, show me a rainbow. I mean, or something, right? Jesus is like, Peter goes, if it's really you, then tell me to come to you on the water. And you know what Jesus did? Okay, come on out. Water's fine. Poor. And I'm thinking of Peter. Now, listen, we're going to talk about this when we get back because it's the best thing in the world. But Peter, it says he went over to the side of the boat and got down and walked out. It says specifically in the Greek, side of the boat. Peter went over the side of the boat. Well, he didn't leap from the top or the back end. He's not an idiot. He got over on the side of the boat, kind of checking it out. And we come back, we'll talk about the unbelievable bizarreness that there were two water walkers. Ooh. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Wow, look at that hail!
Wow, look at my neighbor's car.
Wow, look at your roof!
Uh-oh, it's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly, he's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED, because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right, let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs. Whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections, I'll call John at 469-BLESSED or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered because reliability starts at the top.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Oh, gotta, that's getting better. I just got to figure it out. I'm trying to stay away from doing like a Sean Connery thing because I did that before and it's just like, you know, oh, schmando. You know, it's like I got to stay away from that. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. I'm telling you right now on the YouTube and actually on the Facebook, I'm telling a Christian joke. I'm putting that up there, I think, like tonight at like 8 o'clock because I'm not doing a video tomorrow that's too serious. And so you have a chance to – you're welcome to use my joke. It's not my joke. I didn't invent it, but it is a solid 40 years old that I know of because I heard it 40 years ago. So that's – by the way, all my material is at least 2,000 years old. So keep that in mind. We were talking about Jesus, and we were talking about him walking on the water, and then we were talking about Peter's response to Jesus. Now, this is the part I really want you to get. This is kind of the cool part. So you have this situation where, you know, the disciples are like, ah, and Jesus comes walking on the water, which does not, would not, I would not sit there and go, well, this is normal. I mean, that would be pretty bizarre. And so Jesus is like, be calm. I'm here. Don't be afraid. And Peter's like, oh, if that's really you, then tell me to come out on the water. Which is a really weird statement, really weird thing to say. And Peter's like, come out. Or Jesus is like, come out. And what does the scripture say? That's the key. What does the scripture say? Peter called him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water. Now, I'm gonna double check this. I'm not an English major. I'm a theology major, right? But I'm not an English major. So I'm going to check. And walked, W-A-L-K-E-D. So somebody that walked with the E-D at the end, that's past tense. I'm pretty sure I remember that from high school, the little time I spent in high school. So Peter also then walked on the water. So Jesus walked on. So people go, oh, only Jesus walked on water. No, Peter did. Jesus walked on water. Now, Jesus is the only one who didn't fall in the water while walking. But Peter did walk on the water. And he walked towards Jesus. And man, that must have been a moment in his mind, in his heart, or maybe that was just so surreal he couldn't believe what was happening. But then what happened? Verse 30, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, you think, well, how can you see the wind? Have you ever been in the water when the wind hits it? You can see the wind literally making rips into the water. It's so bizarre. So he sees the wind affecting the water. He sees the waves, and he was terrified. What happens when he became terrified? He began to sink. That's what happens to you and me. That's the part that you apply. When you and I get terrified, when we're afraid, when we're in a circumstance or a situation, when we're walking by faith, when we're on top of the water and we take our eyes off of Jesus, because remember, he's walking towards Jesus. But the very next verse, people say, well, you know, how do you know he was looking at Jesus? Well, because it says he walked toward Jesus. So when you're walking, you usually look where you're walking, unless you're a nut job or something. And then he's walking towards Jesus. And then it says he saw the strong wind and the waves and was terrified. Now, it's possible he saw it to the side or behind him. I don't know. But what we know is Peter's focus went to the power of the wind and the power of the waves and to the circumstance around him, and he sank. That we know. Down he went. Why? Because fear will sink us. That's why. Fear pushes faith out. And by the way, if you're wondering how that's possible, Jesus tells us in the next verse. But I just want us to I want this to be a part of our thinking. He asks to do the impossible. He challenges Jesus almost in a sense. Oh, if that's really you, then tell me to come out of the water. Jesus says, come out. Gets off the side of the boat, walking on the water, doing fine. Then he looks around at the winds and the waves, and he's terrified, and he sinks. Now, by grace, verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. I don't know how far Peter walked. Nobody does. Here's what I know for sure. Jesus was close enough that he just reached out and grabbed Peter. Did Jesus move towards Peter? Did Peter move towards? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't care. Here's what I care about. Jesus immediately grabbed him. He was so close he could just grab him by the arm. Or, I mean, I assume it was by the arm, I guess, in that sense. Because he reached out and grabbed him. I grabbed him, you know, it could be the arm, could be the scruff of the neck. I don't think it was the hair, but you never know. I'm just saying, he was so close, he just grabbed him. And then instead of Jesus going, good try, because that's what we would be told to tell one another. Good try. You know, you did really good. That's not what Jesus said at all. Jesus would be the most incorrect political person on the planet. He'd be in so much trouble. Every time he made a statement, there'd be make the news every time. It's just amazing. Jesus asks two questions. Well, it makes one statement, then asks a question. He goes, one, you have so little faith. Well, yeah. Whenever I look at a situation and I'm sinking, I think the Lord reiterated, you have so little faith. You're right. It proves I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have so little faith. I just can't seem to grasp. I can't seem to grasp the I'm maintaining the water walk mentality. I have a hard time doing that. I do good in moments. I'm just saying on a consistent basis. In this situation, it was necessary 100% of the time. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? So what happened, though, what I want you to catch is Peter was what? Terrified, right? What's terror? There's fear connected to terror, right? He's terrified, right? And Jesus' challenge to him is, you have so little faith, why did you doubt me? The positive in that was is that faith was the answer. The negative is that fear, that terror, gave rise to doubt, which pushed faith out. And that's what happens. When we get afraid, we get doubty. And when we get doubty, we get less faithy. And when we get less faithy, we sink. There it is. And you think, oh, that's a story about Jesus on the water. Right. And that's a story about Peter, probably at that moment when he put his leg over that boat, probably one of the greatest acts of faith that I could think of, and how he was successful, and Jesus even was letting him know, hey, you could have kept that going, but you let doubt rise in, and you doubted me, and you didn't stay in that faith. You just needed a little, but you didn't stay in it. And you got terrified, and down you went. So I saved you. I rescued you. But the whole premise there is, hey, you should have a little more attitude in the faith and a little less doubt. A little less terror would give you a little less wet hair. Wow. And if we think about it, we need to think that way. Oh, yeah. You put on the wrong pair of glasses, you'll sink. You put on the right pair of glasses, you'll walk above the water. You put on the wrong glasses, down you go. You put on the right pair of glasses, you can do more than survive. You can be on top. Put on the wrong pair of glasses, you will be flailing about trying to seek to live. Put on the right pair of glasses, you can rise above it. Wow. Just think of how many analogies. There must be 1,000 in there. Okay, not 1,000. There must be 100, though. Okay, not 100. Maybe 50, 40, 30, 20. The point is that we need to have the right pair of glasses on in order to walk above the water and not sink and drown. That's the point. Okay? I think you get that. All right, use that. Use as much of it as you can. Let it become a part of you. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break, and then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.